I'd like to begin by wishing all of the fathers, grandfathers, great-great-great-grandfathers, and great-great-great-grandfathers, and I missed Wilf at 8 o'clock, not remembering that he was a great-great-great-grandfather. Happy Father's Day to you, and also for all those men who take on the role of fathers in terms of care and love of children. So, happy Father's Day. Hope you enjoyed the parish breakfast, those of you who made it. Thank you. Father's Day has a kind of a dual, not kind of, has a dual connotation for me, because it was the same week that I was ordained priest in the Church of God. So I, of course, am a biological father of my two sons and also a parish priest. And so when Father's Day rolled around, it was always Happy Father's Day, Happy Father's Day. And this coming Tuesday will actually be my 25th anniversary of ordination to the priesthood. So it's a pleasure to, and it's a pleasure and joy to be with you all here. So when I was first ordained, you have all these wonderful thoughts about how ordained ministry is going to look and go, and you know how it's just going to be unicorns, M&Ms, and rainbows, and all that sort of thing. God always has a little different plan for you. But I should have got a clue, should have had a clue, the actual day of my ordination. So it was a solemn mass, of course, and the Bishop of Milwaukee was there, and he was a friend of mine, and ordained me, and we're standing at the altar, and we're doing a solemn Te Deum. And the choir, 12-person choir, is singing. We had all sort of backup music. And the incense things are going, the thuribles, two of them. And I'm standing there, you know, proud, happy. And all of a sudden, the fire alarm goes off. The fire alarm goes off. And since it was St. George's Historical Church, built in the 1700s, they rolled the whole house. And the stockade area where the church was small. The streets were narrow. So you could hear them coming. You could hear them coming. So they come to the front door, and they had to come in because the alarm went off. So they truck through with their boots, and the solemn Te Deum is still going, and the whole thing is going on. And I thought, well, that's one way to begin, you know, ordained priestly ministry. So yeah. So back in the day, then I always wrote out my sermons. I did a kind of a transcript thing, and was always very careful about words that I picked and that sort of thing. And that's an important thing to do. That was a learning exercise for me. But now, as I've had a few years in and learned a few things, I've been through the three-year cycle of the lessons, you know, three times plus now. So, I mean, I preached on the ones over and over and over again. And, of course, when you get to a familiar gospel passage like this morning about the sower and the mustard seed, you know, you come back to the same thing. You've heard it from different folks over the years, you know, that always, you know, the seed grows and it's all good. It somehow miraculously happens, and the smallest mustard seed becomes the greatest of the shrubs, and that's sort of true and sort of an exaggeration. There's smaller seeds than mustard seeds, and there's bigger shrubs than the bush that they produce. So I try to look at the lessons, at least from my perspective, to try to bring something fresh, try to bring something new without reinventing the wheel and still being faithful to the gospel. And so what occurred to me with the passage this morning from the gospel, with the seed and the scattering and the mustard seed, is the growth of the kingdom and how, you know, we are called to grow the kingdom as Christians in the Church of God, how we are to bring that about. Now, just as the parable points out that there's no great mystery how the seed grows, there's no great mystery how the kingdom of God is spread and how it grows. It's spread and it grows through us being faithful members of the body of Christ, through us living into that which God has given us to do and living it out. Yesterday, I had the wonderful opportunity of leading the lesson for the Daughters of the King in the parish hall. We had mass here. And the lesson was on a rule of life. And I have a simple rule of life, which is work, prayer, study. And I also have another rule of life that I try to keep somewhat imperfectly as a member of the Society of the Cross. But it was a wonderful exercise for me and for the women as well. To begin to look at the construct of how we live out our life in Christ. And so I'd just like to share just a little bit of that with you this morning, not as deep as we went yesterday, but as a way, again, to understand that we become those instruments of God's love in the world. And we do that within a construct in the way that we live our lives. There's no great mystery about how the kingdom comes about. Jesus teaches his disciples, the disciples learn, the disciples then become the apostles, and they go out into the world, and they proclaim the good news of the gospel. We're the disciples in this day and this age who are called to do the very, very same thing. We're the ones that have that seed, if you will, implanted in our hearts and our minds and our souls. That seed which hopefully sprouts and grows that we nourish as individuals, and we also nourish and we allow to flourish as a community of Christians. But it begins with the one and then goes to each. And so individually, we have to have some things in our lives that we use to focus ourselves on Christ and on the cross. If we didn't, we just go through our daily routines, right? We get up, you brush your teeth, you do your hair, you get in the car, you drive, you do your work, you come home, you take care of the kids, pick up the kids at school. You know, it just becomes a routine. And the days just go push, they just go by. But unless there's some intentional focus, again, on our direct relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and that's acted upon by what we do to nourish that, we can get lost. We can get lost in our daily life and routine and not realize that we have a higher calling to seek and serve Christ and to build his kingdom. So a simple rule would look something like this. Firstly, worship. We come together on Sunday mornings for a purpose. The first and foremost important thing that we can do as individual baptized persons in Christ is to worship the God in whose image we are made and whose love we are sustained in. When we come together in common worship, we hear the Word of God proclaimed, we hear the Word of God read, we sing hymns and songs and psalms and do all those good things, and above all, share in the Eucharist. We share in the body of Christ. We're nourished beyond measure. It's in that sharing of Christ's body, mind, soul, and divinity that we are replenished, and we are given that power through the Holy Spirit to move forward in our lives. And that, first and foremost, is so important. Secondly, prayer. Prayer, we could go on for hours and hours, but it's that direct relationship with God that we nourish through conversation. There's different types of prayer. There's prayers of praise, thanksgiving, confession, intercession, all those various kinds of prayers. But prayer simply is that communication back and forth between you and the Lord. And if you don't take time to do that, what does that say about your relationship? You don't take time to talk to your spouse or your friends, what does that say about your relationship, right? Well, God is not just our friend, certainly he is, but he is Lord and Master, and he wants to hear from us, and he wants to speak to us, and we have to be open to that. We have to be open to that opportunity to hear his word in our hearts and minds and act upon that. It doesn't have to be, you know, 3 hours of contemplative prayer. I sat for the first time in a long time for 10 minutes in silence, I think I timed, with the daughters, and I haven't done that in a long time. I used to retreat with Cistercian monks up in Berryville, Virginia. We would sit for an hour, and that, gosh, I was young then. I was a pup, I was 22 years old. But 10 minutes seemed like an eternity. But it was wonderful because it allows you to empty yourself and be filled with the Spirit, be filled with God, and to clear your mind and to allow God to speak to you. You know, oftentimes we think prayer has to be a lot of chitter-chatter and praying for people and for things. It doesn't have to be that difficult. We simply ask the Holy Spirit to come into our hearts and to allow that message that he's to speak to us to be available to us. And in so doing, we nurture that relationship with Almighty God. And then study. When I left seminary, my good friend George Hillman, I love him to death, gave me a little statue of a monk with his habit on, holding a book. And he said, put this on your desk and remember, you're never done learning. You're never done learning. And that's so, so true. And that's true of us learning as Christians, truly studying Scripture and perhaps reading beyond, being nurtured so that we have a deeper understanding of the gift of the faith that God has given us. You know, you don't need to read the Summa Theologica of Thomas Aquinas. You don't need to do that. But you do probably need to do some sort of reading so that you can go beyond just simply the Scriptures, and certainly study the Scriptures in and of themselves, so that again, by the Word of God, we are nourished. And then lastly, service. And when you start talking about service, people think, oh my goodness, you know, do I need to be a missionary? Do I need to go to here? You don't have to do that. Service can be simple. The daughters served us this morning a beautiful breakfast, and that was a gift of service. There's ways to serve in the community, the hungry, the homeless. There's ways to serve here at St. Andrew's. Serving is a way to empty yourself and give yourself to others, and we should be doing that in the name of Christ. The disciples, then becoming the apostles, totally gave themselves in service to the world. And look what they did with the message that they shared and spread. They spread the gospel that indeed transformed the world. So we can think of the sowing of the seed and the growing of the mustard bush. Perhaps in 3 years, if I'm still here, whoever else is here, you might hear a whole different story. But I think for us is to look at it with fresh eyes, realizing that we are the agents of God in the world who are called to both build the kingdom, share the kingdom, and spread the kingdom of Him who is Lord of life and Lord of each of our lives. So I ask you to ponder that, how you would structure your life around worship, prayer, study, and service of our Lord Jesus Christ, that we, too, might be those who build the kingdom, spread the gospel, and share the love of Him who indeed loves us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.